on May the 23rd, 1993. Thank you, Mitch.
Let me back up a little because I'm not sure exactly where we were. The writer, her husband, and specifically you, the Greens, America West Distributors Incorporated and America West Publishers Incorporated, both Nevada corporations, were ordered not to sell those volumes. You first showed your intent to sell these books when you sent a bill to Tehachapi Distributing Incorporated, a Nevada corporation, for $86,000, etc., and then later served said corporation with a suit for same. You then proved your intent of sale and opened contempt of court by actually selling, with provable credit card trail, over $12,000 of the enjoined books. You know that Tehachapi Distributing Incorporated was functioning fully within the laws at all times. How is it, Mr. Green, that you have avoided scrutiny by the federal court when, in fact, you are the publisher of record for not only the books which have been enjoined, but for the newspaper, the Phoenix Liberator? Furthermore, you've thrust the full blame onto the writer, who not only sold none of the books, but received absolutely no remuneration for the sale of any books. The proceeds, as you well know, have never come back to her in any form. How is it that the writer, Mrs. Ecker, who lives on food stamps in Tehachapi, California, is held accountable for your actions in Nevada? The writer did, while you were present in Tehachapi, California, sign over all proceeds and royalties to the Institute. Greens, you have gleaned all proceeds from all writings referred to as the Phoenix Journals, as well as all returns of value from the papers Phoenix Express and Phoenix Liberator. You advertised constantly in person and in the media that you were the sole publisher and had full and total rights to this material. Even your own son, Mr. Green, claimed that you were Hatton, the extraterrestrial author of most of the journals. Mr. Green, you continually claim that the author of this material no longer writes through the secretary in Tehachapi, but had in fact moved with you, the Greens, to Nevada in June of 1992. You sent over 1,000 letters making this claim and falsely stated that you had nothing to do with the Institute, the Phoenix Liberator, the Constitutional Law Center, and other entities. These are lies, Mr. Green, and this is known by you and all parties named above. There are documents proving your participation. In spite of this, Attorney Horton has continued this false testimony to the court. This is a violation of federal laws, which are the guidelines for all courts in the state of Nevada. It is intended that Mr. Horton be caused to defend his actions, for it is known that he knows the truth and did deliberately hide and misrepresent the same directly to the bench. We further have solid evidence and documentation that there are banks involved in deceitful misdirection of funds in several states. At least one high-level bank official in Kirk, Colorado, has been badly used. Whether this be by, quote, accident or knowing misdirection of funds, transferring accounts, etc., this information remains Institute property to reveal as necessary if and when these actions are given their, quote, day in court with your demanded jury. A gift to the Phoenix Institute of $350,000 in gold coins was secretly accepted and hidden by you. Depositions were taken of the sender and his intent of the Institute gift was proven. You now claim that, quote, others knew of your embezzlement. Actually, you secreted the treasure, deliberately garnered the assets, and secretly moved it to Nevada from California, stolen property, in June of 1992. You received countless other contacts regarding asset placement with the Institute, and you advised the parties to purchase gold from your resources. You then had them send gold to you, which they did in abundance, so that you, quote, could roll over the gold silently without note or IRS notification. Many, many packages were received by you personally and immediately secreted away to your property. This is criminal. when Mr. Overton, owner of the $350,000 in coins, raised questions about his gift to the Institute, your secret became known to the Institute's board. You were then required to admit to holding this asset. You further admitted that the gold was buried in your yard and would have to be dug up. Is this not hiding property with the intent of not having it known? You recently stated that somehow you now believe you, quote, deserve it for your prior voluntary efforts and service. More recently, you stated that you paid for the gold with checks. Where are these alleged checks? Which is it, Mr. Green? You can't have it all ways. Your actions represent to me not only blatant lies and the intent to steal, but the actual theft of property which was meant for the Institute. My vested interest is at risk through your singular actions. I know further that you also received silver bullion and Krugerrands from a party near Los Angeles, along with at least one treasure coin from a Dutch galleon. You furthermore, possibly in conjunction with others with whom you now associate, hold at least $182,000 in Canadian maple leaf coins. These were also obtained through misdirection of funds intended for the Institute and Institute projects. From the onset of the Institute, you were both a director and an officer, having bank account access and signatory rights. You have grossly violated your fiduciary responsibilities. You have publicly stated that you are a, quote, registered financial principal, National Association of Security Dealers, NASD, registered broker-dealer, NASD, licensed insurance broker, all lines, including life, accident and health, annuities, casualty, and bonds, licensed general contractor, registered mortgage broker, and investment planner, your exact statement. You further structured the very plan which you now claim to be a quote, Ponzi scheme. I participate in aspects within this plan in the Institute because of the outlined plan drawn up directly by you. The operation of the Institute has continued exactly along those lines of planning and, except for your own disservice, illegal activities, utilization of project strategies and structure while still a director and officer of said Institute, it is running superbly well and sound, both corporately and financially. And now you demand to place the Institute into receivership and bankruptcy to protect your criminal acquisitions and behavior? No one knew of the gold embezzlement until...
Hold, please.
Apologize.
No problem. No one knew of the gold embezzlement until contacted by Dave Horton, other than you and your colleagues in crime.
That's Dave Overton.
Dave Overton. You said Dave Horton. Wait, go back and...
Let me read it again. No one knew of the gold embezzlement and killed until contacted by Dave Overton, other than you and your colleagues in crime. It is positively evident that, at least, your claimed-to-be wife, Desiree Stevens Green, knew of these activities. We note, however, that she is conveniently omitted from as many court documents as you can arrange. I have a highly vested interest, and I demand that she also be held accountable for these unethical, destructive, deceptive, and actually criminal activities. At the same time as your relocation, I now understand that you contractually agreed with one known as Dr. John Coleman for an amount of approximately $75,000 to be paid to him in exchange for America West Publishers Incorporated to have the rights to three books. The first book was completely done, edited, and printed with Institute funds without knowledge of either this contract or remuneration. The only sure return to the Institute at the time was from the sale of books and periodicals. Representatives of the Institute tried to recover computers and equipment loaned to Dr. Coleman now known to be a foreign agent by the name of Joseph Pavlovsky, only to find that you had given him the equipment as, quote, part of the deal. This in your own written statement, Mr. Green. The Institute lost greatly in this maneuver, for Dr. Coleman left in the middle of the night, owing everything from rent to utilities, and with all of the Institute's equipment. It is also known that Dr. Coleman did, in fact, journey to Carson City, Nevada, to search for housing, as he was intent on moving with you to that location. Thousands of dollars were diverted through you to him. I also know that you, as a publisher slash distributor, have outstanding indebtedness to several other authors whom you owe thousands of dollars. Yet even after publication of their materials, they received nothing. One author paid you over $50,000 and has seen no return. Eustace Mullins is owed around $10,000, and still you advertise and push his books and he receives nothing, living hand-to-mouth without income. In all of the now 75 journals and years of weekly paper publication, the Eckers, the Institute, or any other associated entity have received nothing. You have traveled internationally and many times to Hawaii at the expense of the journals, wherein you sold just about every screwy UFO story and publication, economic drivel, pushed other books, and the one or two journals primarily written by Desiree, your wife, as Druthea, for, quote, higher energies such as Sananda, Jesus Christ, Lord Michael, Hatton, Aton, Germain, etc. You even touted for sensationalism pictures acquired from Billy Meyer, which were published in a book on the Pleiades by prior, quote, friends of yours. Some of those pictures were false and ridiculous. Moreover, I note, according to your own statements, that you have well into the thousands of photographs from the Billy Meyer collection. Strange. Billy Meyer had most of his photographs stolen and has only a pittance remaining. Is a pattern emerging? Further, he stated bluntly that he wanted nothing to do with you, Mr. Green, or, quote, your journals. It is further interesting to note that there were covert thefts by ones in your past association in the form of priceless artifacts flown from Mexico, Central America, etc. These were hidden in the linings of airplane interiors, smuggled into the U.S. and sold. We have no proof that you were a participant, but the possibilities look pretty bad now as to the chronic pattern of deceit and criminality. You came in a most boastful manner, claiming that you had associated with the greatest of the elite. You claimed that you were a multimillionaire, had grand resources, had even been asked by Paul Volcker to head the campaign finance committee for Jimmy Carter, had sat in meetings with ones such as Bush of Silverado, were known as the, quote, mall man for developing malls, had great contacts in the motion picture industry and so many other contacts that we shall not list them here. It was on these touted credentials that I was persuaded to enter into confederation with the Institute. I now find that only you have deceived and failed to produce anything. Further, you have nearly brought destruction deliberately to the Institute, which is doing good business and has many projects underway and has proposals drawn and accepted for funding. I now find you have, in conjunction with actual criminals and previously convicted felons, come to deal in, quote, trusts, in skiving off funds from the Institute and other Nevada corporations, and in building development projects wherein the original plans and architectural services were paid for and drawn up through the Institute. I understand that you are still, as of last week, stating on national radio that you are an, quote, expert on the subjects of financial status, how to protect yourself in these hard times, domed structures, and you broadcast that you have owned banks and are a millionaire. Recently in Pennsylvania, you claimed that you get your information directly from one Hatton and Soltec who, quote, hover above me at all times, giving me verification of my inside information. You further have told thousands that you have, quote, direct contact with extraterrestrials and now with one on Earth known as Croton. Come now, Mr. Green. Croton? I do not surmise this information, Mr. Green. This has been heard and reported from first-hand listeners. You claim that you are, quote, innocent, and that somehow ones named the Eckers started the problems. How so? With substantial backup proof, I know the Eckers to be ones who serve as worthy directors of the Institute, who have responded instantly and with integrity to stop your activities and recover property for we who trusted you. I remind you and all in possession of this document that this is a sworn statement documenting truth. I am utilizing the services of the Constitutional Law Center, a Nevada corporation. You, Mr. Green, are a Nevada citizen, and I expect the Secretary of State, the Attorney General, and the State of Nevada to protect the people and our rights under the law. I understand there is proof in your own documentation that you, in conjunction with ones who set up a trust by the name of Constitutional Law Center, C-E-N-T-R-E, which just, quote, happened to house itself in the same building as the well-respected Constitutional Law Center, C-E-N-T-E-R, had an, quote, arrangement through you with one Gary Anderson. Mr. Anderson is a known felon who was incarcerated for bilking investors in a multi-million dollar scheme in 1986. He is also known to have boasted to many of his dealings in illegal automatic weapons. You and your associates diverted monies intended for the Constitutional Law Center through a response to the Institute, which is the primary funding resource of the Constitutional Law Center. There are so many other now known and similarly labeled corporations and trusts throughout the U.S., but mainly in the state of Nevada, as to be too lengthy to list for this document. These are known, Mr. Green. Your attorney, Mr. Horton, has corrupted his own reputation in defense of your actions. It is difficult for me to understand why he would act to devastate his own state's regulations and protection policies of corporate structure unless, I assume, there is some promised gain for him by you. Since Mr. Horton is recognized as a, quote, constitutional attorney, it would seem most inappropriate that he be involved, as he apparently is, with such unconstitutional activities. Mr. Horton, who took the deposition of Dave Overton regarding his gift of this gold to the Institute, not to Green's, filed legal documents on your behalf, Mr. Green, which misrepresented Mr. Overton's sworn testimony. This was done in the presence of many representatives of Nevada corporations and many private individuals with vested interest. This remarkable deception occurred in the courtroom in front of astounded and indignant witnesses to the perjury. This deception was not only allowed by Mr. Horton, but he covered and encouraged it. On the basis of such testimony, this did indeed cause the justice on the bench to be unable to make proper rulings in any matter presented before him. This is not hearsay, Mr. Green. Many corporate Nevada persons and many private individuals were present and witnessed these actions without there being the opportunity to cause the truth to be brought forth. It strongly appears that Mr. Horton has knowingly and conspiratorially misrepresented the facts as well as Mr. Overton's sworn testimony. This is an obvious and glaring attempt to divert justice and the law, and this will not be further tolerated by those of us involved with the Institute. Surely the Nevada State Bar cannot condone this type of behavior by one of their own attorneys. By united appeal, I also support the bringing of charges by the Institute through the law enforcement agencies in Kern County, California, where this particular gold coin theft originally occurred. I have no interest in your personal, quote, spiritual attitudes, Mr. Green. You claim to be a millionaire expert investment authority. It is for that reason that I became a participant with the Institute. I do not accept that you are owed Institute funds for your voluntary financial support, if that was the case. It is difficult to believe, after being informed of the records of the Institute, that you, quote, volunteered anything, but did take many yet-to-be-completely-accounted-for funds. Your, quote, spiritual needs to communicate with ETs and get your word out to the public is not impressive to me, who desires to see projects completed through sound business management and production. I, as a participant in the Institute, insist on the investigation into the cause for no funds from the sale of the Phoenix Journals to be returned to the Institute in which I have a vested interest. I insist that the Institute, a Nevada corporation, be protected by the Nevada State Authority from this attack, from apparent criminal assault. As a beneficiary of the Institute, the agents of the our government, both must protect us to the fullest extent of the law and prosecute these blatantly criminal actions. Your latest assault has been to force the Institute into receivership and involuntary bankruptcy. Mr. Horton told Mr. Fort that forcing the Phoenix Institute into involuntary bankruptcy or receivership through fabricated and unsubstantiated accusations would benefit George Green, quote, greatly, and would cause untold damage and loss to all other associated parties of interest in the Institute. I understand that Mr. Fort is still in full association and conspiracy with you, even after being given full opportunity to withdraw his participation. He claims to be, quote, only seeking truth and God. Your conscience must be twinging you, Mr. Green, if in fact that be true. I am not, however, interested in his or your, quote, spiritual ideas or searching. I understand that each and every citizen has the right to pursue any, quote, religion or belief desired. Corporate business, however, has no such policy and stands accountable for actions regarding business, not religious hoopla or voodoo dancing. It has further been forced into my attention that you, Mr. Green, and others are offering plans for developments which would seem on the surface to be, quote, cult-like. It is understood that you also have been associated with special forces, intelligence, and have been under close scrutiny by the Anti-Defamation League and the Cult Awareness Network, and you have been touted in news articles as having, quote, followers or, quote, disciples. This is a term utilized by Mr. Perry through the Associated Press to account for the activities of your opposition. I understand from an in-depth investigation that Luke Perry has no association, investment, or interest of any kind in the Institute. I also understand there is proof that Mr. Perry is working in conjunction with you and your associates, Mr. Green, to force changes in the Nevada corporation laws as well as assist in your attempted efforts to destroy the Institute. The attack is in the form of assault on two senior citizens who volunteer their services to the Institute, to other corporations, and therefore to one such as myself. The Associated Press has aided and abetted the lies and false statements issued forth by Luke Perry, who shall face charges by Nevada corporations and persons involved with the Institute. Luke Perry states that he got his information from George Green and Dave Horton. Damages done by Mr. Perry's claims in and through the major business news entities such as the Los Angeles Times business section via the Associated Press must be rectified. There was no contact with any persons involved with the Institute prior to the running of those false and damaging articles, some of which even bore Mr. Perry's picture. This attack through the International Associated Press has been irreversibly damaging to the Institute, and it is necessary to have legal action by the state of Nevada into this matter. Also, it was found through investigation that Mr. Perry has made continued and blatant attempts to gain control of his father's estate, which was meant to attend the needs of his father's wife. Luke Perry has no claim to anything in that estate. I understand from Mrs. Perry that this is a modest estate which can sustain her in her final years. Luke Perry's harassment has been constant, and it must cease. Mr. Perry has contacted creditors of the Institute and begged them to withdraw all their funds from the Institute. Mr. Green, you supplied the contact information. Utilizing this, he attempted through coercion and harassment as a conspirator with you to cause incredible suffering to persons whose only involvement in this ordeal is through, quote, silent Nevada corporation holdings or as private individuals. It is now evident that Luke Perry was given confidential creditor information to be able to contact these parties. Mr. Green, you had full access to that information, and only ones having activities with the Institute prior to your relocation were contacted. You have also instigated the destruction of several of the business projects underway, including having a contaminated product sent through the mail to Minnesota and to Texas. This is now documented, and prior to the, quote, results of your demanded testing of the products, you were already on the phone calling everyone you knew and telling them exactly what would be found. Quote, do not take the product. It is dirty water and is contaminated with viruses and bacteria and will make you sick. The product in point is directly from one known very well to you, Mr. Green. You and your associates had the full intention of exploiting a, quote, sister product and other touted, quote, healing formulation among your own projects. Since you seem to direct all others in this conspiracy, Mr. Green, you bring this to an immediate halt, or all attending persons shall be equally charged under the law for these activities of which they may or may not be aware. This further requires a demand on authorities and law enforcement officers as to why you would take the lead in the destruction of the Institute, a Nevada corporation in good standing, while still an officer and director of that corporation. This is top-of-the-line criminal activity. Mr. Green, you signed demand promissory notes for loans from the Institute as the president of America West Publishers Incorporated, using America West's entire inventory of journals as collateral for those notes. The amount owing the Institute is now over $175,000. In February 1993, the Institute rightfully demanded immediate payment of the money or reclamation of the volumes in inventory. However, I now note that with your damaging and publicly degrading statements about the information in those journals, they may well be worthless. I must see equal return to the Institute of the investment value of those notes, with or without the inventory. The value of the notes will be reduced in an amount established by the remaining value of those publications if they are returned. Now, however, in a court of law, you have declared that the journals in point belong not to America West Publishers, with whom the note was contracted, but to America West Distributors Incorporated. This is a company owned by your wife, Desiree, but one you had earlier claimed to control and wherein you were the founding treasurer and a director. I demand an accounting for these suspicious actions. You claimed in court under oath this is not an alter ego corporation. You signed a legal document using for collateral for that note books which you now claim belong to another company. If that is true, then you disposed of collateral without arranging so much as notification to the institute, note holder. Further, if the inventory in point was sold to another corporation, you have not made agreed payments to the institute for the sale of those books. One way or the other, you have acted in an intentionally fraudulent manner to deprive the institute of its rightful assets. As for Leon Fort, I, as an individual participant, do not have evidence of any wrongdoing, although I do understand that one closely associated with Mr. Fort stated herself that she is your, quote, emissary from Arizona, Mr. Green.